In the scripture that Beth read, Jesus had set his face for Jerusalem. Earlier in that chapter, he had for the second time told his apostles and disciples that he was going to die. And he was looking for committed followers. He wanted people that would follow him regardless of what. The first man that he talked to on the side of the road there that Beth read about came up to him and said, "I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go." Now, scripture doesn't tell us what was wrong with that man's commitment, but we know there was something in his heart that was, that commitment was not true. Because Jesus told him, "We don't even know where we're going to sleep tonight. We may not know what we're going to have to eat tomorrow. It's not in your primrose path." Those aren't, all those words are not in the scripture, but that's what he was telling. It's been said that a commitment to follow and following would be easy if we had a $1,000 bill. Because once we'd made that commitment, and we just one time would have to put that $1,000 bill out. And we would have fulfilled our commitment to follow. But that's not what we're called on to do. We're called on to change that $1,000 bill into quarters. And then on demand, pay it out a quarter at a time. That makes it a little harder to follow than if it was just one effort, one time. Joan Dougherty, with her love of animals, pays out a commitment a quarter at a time. She adopts animals that other people are mistreating. But then one of the most amazing stories of her quarter at a time to me was she was coming into Ross from her house one day on 126, right by Fernald. A little fawn had been hit and was in the road. And Joan wasn't going to leave that little fawn there to be pulverized by being run over time and time again. She turned on her hazard lights and she got out. And she held up her hands like a traffic cop, each direction. Now, if you can imagine Joan standing out there, you've got a better imagination than I, but she did it. She got that traffic stopped and she pulled that little fawn off the road. That's paying it out, my friends, a quarter at a time. Peter was of the inkling that he had a $1,000 bill. Because in the upper room at the Last Supper, he said, "Lord, I'll never disown you. I will die for you." And he was very sincere about that. He carried it out in Gethsemane, or tried to, because when they were arresting Jesus, Peter drew his sword. He was ready to fight to the death. He was ready to pay out that $1,000 bill. He had learned how to die for the Lord, but he had not learned how to live for the Lord. But now we all know from Scripture and from what Peter did, he did learn how to live for Jesus. And he did live for Jesus and pay out his commitment to follow a quarter at a time. The second man that Jesus talked to, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And the man said, "First, let me bury my father." And Jesus' response to him is somewhat puzzling unless you really look at what he had said. Because he said, "Let the dead bury the dead. And because your business is life." He's saying that the spiritually dead can take care of the physically dead. But the spiritually alive are needed to take care of the living, to follow him, to proclaim his word. That this man's statement to Jesus was not completely forthright anyway, misleading. The custom of the time was that anyone that died would be buried by sunset. If this man's father was dead, he would have been home preparing the body for burial, not out on the road talking with Jesus. We don't know why he was trying to delay till after his father was dead, for his inheritance, for some other objective that he had. We don't know, but Jesus knew. In the Armenian-Turkish conflict a number of years ago, there was an Armenian brother and sister that were chased down by a Turkish soldier down an alley which was a dead end. And at the end of that alley, the soldier slaughtered the brother. The sister got away and was later captured by the Turkish forces, and she was a nurse and was put in a military hospital to work. After she was there on an occasion, the same Turkish soldier was brought in was gravely injured and wounded. And he was injured to the point that if he did not have constant care looking out for him, he would surely die. She was assigned to care for that soldier. And when he saw her, recognized her, of course the look of terror came over his face, because he knew that he was numbered, his way was numbered, his days were numbered. But this young girl, our nurse, said that she did have fleeting thoughts about neglecting him just enough that he would die so that she could revenge her brother. But this girl was a committed Christian. She said, even if no one else knew what I had done, I would know. And even more importantly, my Lord would know. So she cared for this soldier constantly, giving him the kind of care that could bring him back to health. And when he was, and she was praying for him constantly too, every day. And as the soldier was recovering, he asked her one day, said, why did you take care of me like you did? You know who I am, and you know what I did. Why didn't you just let me die? She told him that I have a commitment to my Lord, and my Lord has taught me that in following him I must love everyone, even my enemies. And this soldier purportedly said to her, tell me more about this Jesus. I'd give anything to have that kind of faith. When we follow, we can have other people follow also and get that kind of commitment. The last man that Jesus talked to said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me go say goodbye to my family. Now, we know that Jesus always talked about love, but that he didn't accept that. I think that Jesus probably saw an inability in this man to break from the past. Because he told him, once you set your hand to the plow, you can't look back. Well, that brings a pretty vivid picture to me, because I grew up in Mississippi many years ago, and most of the small farmers plowed with a walk-behind plow being pulled by a mule. And while they were pulling it across that field, they would do a straight furrow. But if they started looking around, not paying attention to what they're doing, their furrow would go like this. And you'd have a mess. When you set your hand to the plow, you can't look back. When you make a commitment to follow Jesus, you can't start looking back. Mark Twain once said that he wanted to go up on top of Pike's Peak to to see the sunset, because he knew that would be a beautiful experience. He said he got up in plenty of time to get there, and he made it up to the top. And he was all set for this stupendous sunrise. But he didn't see it, because he was looking the wrong direction. Didn't that happen to us when we make our commitments to follow? And we're trying to follow. We're looking the wrong way. We're looking back. We're not plowing a straight furrow, and we're not looking in the direction that we should be going. The Australian coat of arms has two creatures on it, two creatures that are native to Australia. Now, there's a number of them that are native to Australia, but that's not why these two were picked. The emu and the kangaroo are on that coat of arms. And the reason they are there is because neither of those creatures can walk backwards. The emu has a three-toed foot, and if they try to step backwards, they fall. And the kangaroo, we know his problem. He's got a big old tail. He starts trying to go backwards, and he's on that tail. He can't make it either. The Australian people wanted symbols of creatures that couldn't go back, constantly go forward, following the dream. But, you know, one of the most, I'm not even sure what word I want, the most telling statement was out of that, this man, was how he responded to Jesus. He said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me do this." How many times do we say that? "I will follow you, Lord, but," and then we fill in the blank with whatever excuse we have then. You know what we need to be saying is, "I will follow you, Lord," exclamation point, and that's it. We just follow. The last part of that scripture that Beth read this morning was when Jesus did send some of his committed disciples out to minister to the villages in the countryside. And he told them, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, so you better watch yourself." He gave them authority to go. They went. They were successful. They came back and they were elated. They had cast out demons. They had healed the sick. They had preached and had response to their preaching. But Jesus didn't see it that way about their elation. His response to them after they returned, and this is a translation from the Message translation of the Bible. "This great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing."